Jim, it's good to see you up here, knowing that you've been out, and then to have the strength to get back up here and to do what you've done today, to lead singing. That encourages us all, as well as Charles and Jerry being here. And I know others have your maladies, but kind of a special class with those two and Jim being able to be here. Everyone's tickled to see you. Judy and I are glad to be here. We always receive such a warm welcome, and we have so many dear friends here, and it's good to see the growth of this congregation. Many times we go to gospel meetings, and the big, huge building is almost empty because people have moved away and died, and the congregation hasn't grown like you all have. I just admonish you from the start, keep up the good work. Keep on keeping on. We could close the doors, just shut the lights off and leave. We've been so blessed already, haven't we, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to sing these beautiful songs, to be led in capable prayers. And Andy, appreciate the time you took to talk about the Lord's Supper and the scripture reading. Somebody said a long time ago that we started singing a song before the Lord's Supper to prepare our minds, and that was to stop the old men, not you necessarily, Andy, but from preaching a sermon at the Lord's table. And sometimes I wonder if the song really does that, if the song really does prepare our minds, does it? Sometimes we get it to be into a rut, and that's just what we do before the Lord's Supper. But always good to read the scriptures. I think we've read more scripture already this morning in the Bible study than most Americans read, maybe in years. Most people don't open the book. Most people have a Bible. It's still the number one bestseller. They took it off of the bestseller list because it was always number one and didn't give other books a chance. So other people can brag, I'm the number one seller. No, they're not. God's Word still is, even in this country, as far down as we've come. And I think the only thing that's saving our country is us, people like you, doing what you ought to do, living like you ought to live, behaving yourself like you ought to. Appreciate Brian's reading of the scripture. Good job. It was a little bit more than I wanted, but it's exactly what I needed to hear. That's exactly where I needed to go. If my charts don't go Pentecostal on me like the first one did, if you, those of you who were here know what that was, had all kinds of scribbling up there. But this morning we want to talk about the morning after. You ever had one of those days? Something you did yesterday that maybe wasn't the right thing to do, and the consequences begin to come. Sometimes it's not always just the morning after, but eventually they will come. Paul said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've underlined the word that in my Bible in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Because he's going to give me the reason. Whatever I sow, that is what I'm going to reap. Judy and I are reaping from our, six tomato plants. We sowed them. We didn't get watermelon. We didn't get pears. Anything else. We're just getting tomatoes because that's what we sowed. And so it is not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual as well. With our society, drugs, drinking, sex, it's never worth the night before that was spent in pleasure. Sometimes people can't remember what they did the night before, but the consequences are going to come anyway. And we need to behave ourselves because we live in a pleasure-seeking world. We just have to admit that. We are so filthy, stinking rich, aren't we? You go to your closet, we now have a walk-in closet. Some of us, when we grew up, if you walked in, you ran into a hanger. It's about this wide, and it held all your clothes. And I've got as many shoes as Judy does, so I can't say anything about her. But we are so blessed, aren't we? And it's something, it's been called the blight of abundance. We're blessed with the blight of abundance. And that abundance can bring us down. Remember, God warned the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6 about verse 10 through 12. When you get to this country that I'm giving you with houses you didn't build and wells you didn't dig and crops you didn't plant, you're going to forget me. And this is how wealthy we are. And the nation is forgetting God. But remember, you reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. Sometimes we can't wait for those tomatoes to turn the bright red. We want, come on, hurry up. But it takes a while sometimes for us to reap the consequences. And it fares as well as with good as it does with bad. And sin will take you farther than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay, won't it? The devil tells us, oh, you're missing out. The Lord doesn't want you to have any fun. You can't go there. You can't do this. You can't. Man, he's pretty near ruined you. Really? That's not the purpose the Lord tells us not to do things. The devil says, look at all the fun you can have. Then he'll convince you that just this once is okay, because he knows that once you do just once, you're going to do it just twice and just five times and just on and on. He's got you in his trap. He's lured you with the beauties and the pleasures of this world. And then he gets us to say, well, everybody's doing it. You ever do that? And which usually means that only one or two people are doing it. But you go on and convince mom and dad and whoever that everybody's doing it. Everybody's going. We make choices. Joshua told us that. Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose you this day. We come to the fork in the road. Remember what Yogi Berra said? When you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's no answer, is it? We have to make a choice. We can't go both ways. And so serving God or not serving God, he said, you choose the gods of your fathers, the gods of the Amorites, and the land where you now dwell, or you can serve God. You make the choice. But many times we want to eat, drink, and be merry, like the rich man in Luke chapter 12, thinking that we have plenty of time, but we don't know. We don't know what is tomorrow. When we say goodbye to each other tonight, after services, the Lord willing that we live that long, it may just be that. You ever told somebody goodbye and it was? It's the last time that you saw them. We risk a lot of things in this life for the pleasures that the devil puts before us. People sell drugs to get rich, risking jail. Risking death. They risk selling or robbing people, risking their own lives. And on we could go. George Jones sang a song about 50 years ago, maybe. I'm living and dying with the choices I've made. Aren't you? Aren't you living and dying with the choices you've made? You're living with them, aren't you? And it's none of my business what they are. And I've done things that I wish I hadn't have done. That's none of your business either. But God knows. And that's the one I need to be concerned about. So we talk about people who've had the morning after syndrome. First of all, Adam and Eve. Did they have a morning after? How would you like to have been in their place when this happened? They're hiding in the beautiful garden. Why are they hiding? Well, then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Is it that God didn't know where he was? He was hiding, wasn't he? You ever tried to hide from your mom or dad? Yeah, me too. Didn't work. They had eyes and ears that I didn't know about. When they heard that voice, Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you you were naked? Pretty pointed questions, aren't they? Where are you? Who told you you were naked? You know, they'd lived all their lives so far in innocence. That's like a little child. In the church building, the old house that we were meeting in, the bathrooms were, the bathroom was over here, right in front. So sometimes parents would let their little children go to the bathroom and come out by themselves in all kinds of undress. And, you know, they didn't care. You know why? They were innocent. They were innocent. Kind of lost the audience for a while, but the little child was innocent, like Adam and Eve. You know what sin will do? Sin will bring problems, won't it? It'll break that innocence. It breaks it with husbands and wives when we do things that we ought not do, just like this couple did. God says, another question, have you eaten of the tree? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? My parents caught me, did you do that? I want to yell, no, but it was obvious. Mm-hmm. I did it. Then the man said, the woman. Oh, we're good at this, aren't we? The blame game. The woman you gave me. He blamed you. Oh, he was happy with her until he did something wrong. And then, look out. The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Morning after wasn't too pleasant, was it? He was now on trial and he was losing. Guilt will do that. 13, and the Lord said, God said to the woman, what is this you have done? She follows the same path, doesn't she? The serpent beguiled me, deceived me, and I ate. Have you ever been deceived by the devil? Shake your head this way. Yes, you have. Is he going to give up on you? Shake your head this way. No, he will not. I'm 73 years old and he's still after me. Uh-huh. So he doesn't say, well, giving up on him. No, sir. Not until your heart stops. He's all over us. Adam and Eve, God comes calling. Not pleasant. You know what Moses said, and he knew, Numbers 32 and verse 23. He said, you be sure, you know what that verse says? You be sure your sin will find you out. Uh-huh. You know how Moses knew that, didn't he? Remember when he killed the Egyptian slave driver? What happened the next time when the two Israelites were fighting? You gonna kill us like you killed that one? He thought nobody saw. But they did. And even if you don't see, God knows. God knows. Is there any place I can hide? You need to read Psalm 139. David knew. There's no place. Read that psalm. That's a beautiful psalm. Recognize that where God is, where you are, God is. You can't get away. Jonah tried to hide, didn't he? That work? How'd that work out for him? I think Dr. Phil says. Morning after. Well, how about this one? The morning after for Cain. Uh-oh. Remember what he did? After they offered their offerings in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 beginning. But he did not respect Cain in his offering. Well, 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is. He said Cain's deeds were evil. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. They were told what to do, and Cain didn't do it. But God had no respect for Cain's sacrifice because he didn't do what God said. God just didn't arbitrarily say, well, you just offered the wrong thing, son. He told them what to do, like he's told us. So the Lord, verse 6, said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." It's like a lion crouched, ready to jump on you. "And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now, he says, verse 8, "Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." The scholars tell us that this language says that Cain butchered Abel, killed him with a knife. Can you imagine that to your own brother? We got that happening every day, don't we? People killing their relatives, mothers, fathers, children. You couldn't do that, could you? You couldn't think about doing that. Hatred will do that. Verse 9, "Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother?" Sometimes the morning after happens quick, doesn't it? "Where is your brother?" He said, "I don't know." You ever give that answer? "I don't know." How'd that work out? "Am I my brother's keeper?" He's smarting off to God. I think my parents would have backhanded me. You have a smart aleck answer like that. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done?" "The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." God knows what he's done, doesn't he? "So now," he said, "you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Consequences. What I'm telling you is not just to tell you the history of these people, but to warn you that you will have your morning after. "Oh, we're so smart, that won't happen to me." Did you know our prisons are busting wide open because people said, "I won't get caught. It won't happen to me. My sin won't be found out"? Really? Reminds me of the preacher down in one of our southern states about 30 years ago. After his sermon, a woman came forward confessing her sin. And he got up and said, Sister Smith has confessed sin in her life, and she wants us to pray for her. Well, when the services concluded, she went back and she got the elders together, and she said, "That's not what I said. I told the preacher that I am confessing our affair." How would you like to have been that preacher about then? So he got up and covered it up, tried to cover it up. He didn't want his sin exposed. She was exposed, exposing him. You think you won't get caught? Think again. Seriously, soberly. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, what? Devour. You ever watch Discovery Channel and watch the lion get the little antelope or whatever he's chasing? I'm on my couch, right, nearly falling off a couple of times. Sometimes he escapes, but not always. And it's pretty vicious when the lion gets him. "My punishment is greater than I can bear." You know what people are choosing today? When they're getting the consequences of their sin, is to blow their brains out. Can't take it anymore. Can't take the consequences. You want those consequences? Well, then have at it. Tell them what he's won, Johnny. Sleepless nights, depression, all kinds of trouble, loss of job, loss of friends, loss of family, and the hits just keep on coming. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Mornings after, you want Adam and Eve? You want their sons' consequences? No, you do not. God called Adam and Eve. God called Cain on the carpet. You ever been called on the carpet? I got called on the carpet at Caterpillar Tractor for not donating to their, what was that thing? United Fund. Thank you, Judy. You're the only one. My boss and his two big bosses sitting on the carpet, and it was a big glass office. The 70 or 80 people around could see you. Ooh, he'd been called in on the carpet. They knew what was happening. We're not going to get our little plaque on the wall 30 years in a row, and you're ruining that because we had 100% everybody complying, but you're not, and we're not going to get our little plaque. That didn't go over too well. Sometimes we're going to have to take a stand and take the consequences. You know what? They got their little plaque. I don't know how they got it. I just didn't tell them about me, I guess. But they made life miserable for me. Anytime, any way they could. Here's another case. David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Brian just read that to us. What did Nathan say to him when David was so mad that that rich farmer had taken that poor man's little lamb that he'd raised up like his own pet, fed it off of his own table, his little children loved it, and the rich man took it, and David was, he's going to pay for this. What he's done, he needs to pay. And Nathan, standing before the king, stepped up and said, David, you are the man. You are the man. Let's just go on past. Verse 5 at the end there. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Oh, he was ever talking anger. And then he got shot right between the eyes, didn't he? David, you're the man that did this. Yes, you are. Thou art the man. And all the consequences that came with it, all the problems for the rest of David's life. Remember what he said in Psalm 51 and verse 3? My sin is what? Ever before me. Could you have written that? Things you've done? Things I've done? Ever before me. Things I wish I could say, God, I didn't do that. No, not me. But verse 12 that Brian read, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. And did you know 3,000 years later, you know about David and Bathsheba? God said you did it in secret. But I'm going to open this can of worms. You've caused people to blaspheme against God, and when I do that, I do the same thing. We need to move along quickly. How about Pharaoh? Hardened his own heart against God. Everything. We just went through this in our Exodus class at home. The 10 plagues. You think your heart can't get that hardened? Think again. You know what God says, but I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway. I know I shouldn't, but... But one of a mailman that we converted was unfaithful to his wife. He said, God wants me to be happy. He does, and he's proved it, but not by living like he was living. What did Pharaoh learn on that 10th plague? Well, really not much, did he? They buried all of their dead, the firstborn. I was thinking about that. I'm the middle child. The Bible says there was a great cry in Egypt. Not a house was left without one dead. Imagine that. Pharaoh's mourning after, he lost his son. The next Pharaoh, the next king of Egypt, died that night because of his hard heart. Quickly, we need to move. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, Achan, God said, when you take Jericho, marching around it, how many times? How many times? You remember? Told him what to do. Verse chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, I have given into your hands Jericho before they even went. God said, it's yours. But they had conditions they had to follow, didn't they? And then he said, when you take the city, do not take the spoil. Well, Achan just couldn't keep his little hands off. And they went to Ai, the next city, and 36 men died. 36 men died because of Achan's sin. Well, what happened? Well, God said, you've got sin in the camp. You need to find out about it. And he said, Joshua started to pray, and God said, it's not time for prayer. You need to get busy and find out who this is. You want to be Achan about now? Let's see, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and this is what I have done. You want to trade places with him? No, you do not, do you? When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. I remember watching old the Untouchables way back. Old television shows. There might be two or three of us old enough to remember that. But the crooks would rob a bank or something, and they'd go off and hide, like the old cowboy movies, in a shack or a shed or something. And, oh, we're rich. We can't spend the money, but we're rich. Really? You really want riches? And somebody knocks at the door. We're rich. And you know how good crooks are. You got to watch the next one. If he stole it from somebody else, he might take it from you. Achan said, I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. Isn't that what Eve did? She saw, she coveted, she took, and she hid. And isn't that what we do? We see. Whoa. Wow. Coveted. Oh, that could be mine. That could be mine. And then we take it and we try to cover it up. How's that work out for you? That make you happy? Didn't work out good for Achan, did it? How about this one? Remember good old Judas? Matthew 27, 1 through 5. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. This was happening all of Jesus' ministry for 3 years. The best man that ever walked the earth, people tried to kill him every day. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. You want to see their answer? He said, I have sinned betraying innocent blood. And they said, oh, man, we're so sorry, Judas. Oh, is that what they said? So what? Judas was sorrowful. Big deal. You deal with it. Consequences are coming in. You too can have a morning after. That's what we're going after. is to keep you away from it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Another bad choice. Another bad choice. You making good choices? Are you? If you're thinking about being in an affair, or if you're in an affair, you need to drop it. You need to stop it. Do not go there. Solomon said you can't walk on hot coals without your feet being burned. You cannot take it into your bosom without being burned. Mm-mm. You be sure your sin will find you out. How are we doing? Well, here's another. This is a good one, Moses, and we'll just give you the points. We'll not go through every one of them. He did all these things. Chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11. How you doing? You making the right choices? He did. He made the right idea about riches. He would have been a millionaire. Royalty. But he led a separated life. He left his growing up home, Egypt, where he'd gained all this knowledge and wealth. But he feared God and he persevered. Great lesson in Moses' case. Morning after, good. Not so much for these others. Only David and Adam and Eve lived quite a while after their sins. The others all perished. Sin can do that to you. And even if you live, look at the consequences. Did David ever forget what he did? Did Paul ever forget what he did when he witnessed the death of many Christians, not just Stephen in Acts 7? He separated families, men and women, children, putting them to death because they were of that way. He had to live with that. He never forgot it. Called himself the chief of sinners. And that's what the publican thought in the book of Luke, about verse 7, chapter 17. God be merciful to me. Literally, he said, the sinner. That's how I need to look at myself. Well, I'm just one of many. No, God, you be merciful to me. Has he been merciful to you? Has, hadn't he? He's forgiven you. He's blessed you, just like we talked about earlier. Now let's repay the love that he gave. God so loved. Let us so love that we can live with him, just like Caleb prayed as well. If you're here today and you need to respond, did you know there's sins I don't need to know about? You can pray right there in your seat and ask God to forgive you. You can pray standing, sitting, driving, but pray with your eyes open if you're driving, okay? God will forgive you. He's not like people who won't forgive you. Well, I might. No, he will. He cannot lie. He will forgive. If you need to be baptized into Christ, make it today. Don't wait another day. Don't hesitate because you may not have another. Won't you come right now, Jim, while we stand, while we sing.